around 8 million schools across our business. So 8 million schools can get updated. Sometimes the name is updated or the image is updated, or sometimes inventory is updated. So all of this has to be real time. And there is point of sale systems that currently work on, and sometimes people buy gift card based transactions. The points are updated and all those things. So all these things orchestrated using DAX.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, the podcast about Apache Airflow and the world of data and AI around it. Let's get into it.
All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis, and today I'm joined by Shailesh Kadam, who is an architect at Saks Global. Shailesh, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good as well. Good as well. It's great to have you on. I'm excited for our conversation today. We're going to talk about how Saks uses Airflow for ETL and Snowflake and things like where agentic AI and MCP fit into your roadmap. So definitely big topics. And I think Saks will probably be a pretty familiar company to a lot of our listeners, which leads me to my first question, which is always I want to start with some background. So in case Saks isn't familiar to our listeners, or I think once you describe it, they will be. But tell me a little bit of background about what the company does.
Yes, absolutely. So Saks is a major brand in the US, and they are into the retail industry. So in recent years, the business has gone through some significant transformation. So we separated the e-commerce business from the mortar and brick and mortar stores. So most of the presence is online now, which is because many people prefer doing things online rather than going to the stores anymore. And then we took over Neiman Marcus just last year. So it's the biggest retail brand now. There is no competition to Saks anymore. And since then, we have rebuilt around a modern cloud native stack. So most of the things are AWS, Snowflake, data warehousing, and then Airflow is the orchestration tool, which is our nervous system, if we can say, to keep this business running. So that's really has unlocked us a lot of things on the online side of the business.
Yeah, great. So it makes sense. I mean, huge e-commerce business in retail. So that's really cool to hear that Airflow is a big piece of that. We'll get into that in more detail in just a minute. But first, what does your team do within Saks?
Yes. So our team is mostly on the online side of it. We maintain the data that refreshes the page and shows all the products on the website, shows the promotions that their products are in, shows if they're in stock or not. It actually maintains a link between the web page and the data that it resides behind it. So practically speaking, we are responsible for getting the data from all of our different operational systems, point of sale, if you can say. There's an e-commerce database, which is maintained on some tools like catalog management, where we have a list of catalogs for this year, or if it is a season-based catalog or fall-based. So we have a tool that keeps all those inventory in there. So we maintain data flow between those. And we also have a Snowflake, which the business analyzes on how is the sales going on, or what are customer feedback about it, and also gift cards and how they're performing. So all the analysis is done in Snowflake. So we provide data to the analyst team so that they can look at all those numbers, and then they can decide what's the next, which customers can be targeted next, and all those things. And Airflow is a part of it. Provides all the syncing between these different point of sale systems, e-commerce systems, and Snowflake, so that the businesses can get real-time value as much as quicker as possible. So we want to make sure in case of there's a sale, like a season sale, and it's only for 1 hour. So we want to make sure the data flows through all the front-end systems and the back-end is very quick as possible, so the promotions are updated quickly and efficiently. So I'm in part of that team. We can say as analytics and engineering team, which we sit on top of data to provide this data to our business users.
Okay, great. So it sounds like your team and then Airflow, you mentioned, is powering both kind of your internal analytics that's used by the business, as well as the platform itself for managing all the data coming through. Cool.
Yes, just to add to that, we also have a product catalog that gets updated and that's sent to social, like Meta and Google. They run ads for us. So we also have to build that product catalog and send it to them hourly sometimes, because it's updated. The inventory is updated or the price is updated. So we have to maintain People who are using apps on their phone, so they get the updated inventory all the time.
Okay. Yeah, that's very cool. And so you mentioned that Airflow is your primary orchestrator and that you're pulling data from sources like gift cards, Frog data, your online product catalogs, all of that into Snowflake. Can you tell me in a little bit more detail kind of what your pipelines look like in Airflow?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, as I said, it's a nervous system for us. Without that, it's very difficult for us to know, I mean, to coordinate everything across these different systems. And we have around 8 million SKUs across our business. So, 8 million SKUs can get updated. Sometimes the name is updated, or the image is updated, or sometimes inventory is updated. So, all of this has to be real time. And there is point of sale systems that currently work on, and sometimes people buy gift card based transactions. The points are updated and all those things. So all these things are orchestrated using DAGs. So our Airflow's the core of this entire Airflow based system is ingestion, data ingestion. Like, we have a huge amount of data that's coming in, so you ingest data from these different various file formats and different heterogeneous data systems like Snowflake sometimes. And we orchestrate them in such a way that they are efficiently processed, and we get to see the status every hour or every 30 minutes to see that all of this data is flowing through and there is no errors as such. And Airflow gives us a holistic view of how this different data from different domains is flowing through. So we use it for scheduling, we use it for coordinating the movement of data across different operational systems, and then we also trigger the downstream systems based on this, using Airflow for Snowflake for data analysis and other things. And in terms of specific pipelines, point of sale data is probably the most important for us. So we have to be absolutely critical of looking at the SLAs for this data that's flowing through to the reporting systems, and it's all near real time. And during sale, there are people who buy items worth 1 million or something more than that, which can be a fraud. So we normally don't get such type of transactions. So we need to have there are third-party systems like Fiserv which look at this kind of data, and we have to be very efficient of sending this data to third-party companies to understand whether the transaction is valid or not. So this is very latency-sensitive data that has to be handled, and Airflow does a pretty much good job of running with all of this huge amount of data that flows through, which has probably allowed us to make some changes because Airflow is Python based. So we also made some changes in it, and it has helped in a way that no other tool can give us. So it's basically the one of the most core of our entire orchestration, if we can say.
Wow. Yeah, that's so cool. And it sounds like you're running Airflow at a pretty high scale or working with it at a pretty high scale. How are you running Airflow?
So one of the things is we have Astro, which is our astronomy, which is managed platform for Airflow. We used to run it through Kubernetes sometimes, Kubernetes-based deployments. And the issue with them is that we have to manage the platform more than looking at our jobs that are running. So we were mostly occupied with handling errors in those Kubernetes kind based of implementation. Then we also had tried IBM's Tivoli kind of a scheduler, which was there. We had Control-M, which was another tool for scheduling and all those things. And they had a lot of, I mean, we are not able to understand what the errors were sometimes. And we need to have a separate team to look at what those errors are, specifically just to look at what those errors look like. And we lost track of what exactly we were doing, and we were delayed because of these things. But Astronomer actually takes care of all this for us. So Astro is, we didn't want to be in the business of managing Airflow infrastructure. And Astro actually did everything for us, and it's proximity to the Airflow's project. I mean, it Airflow is heavily open sourced, and people are working heavily on it, and they actually look at all these problems and improve the platform efficiently, as if there are any issues or that comes across. So that has helped us to put all the burden on the open source community to some extent.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I have also been in the position myself of managing Airflow on a Kubernetes cluster that we managed in-house before I worked for Astronomer, and it was not a good use of time at all. So yeah, it's cool to hear that you guys have had that success with Astro. Of course, as an Astronomer, we always love to hear that. Very cool. Well, on a slightly separate topic, I understand that you have been working recently on upgrading to Airflow 3, and I'd love to hear more about what is driving that migration right now and kind of where you're at in that upgrading process.
Yeah, so some point on the Airflow 3, and we are anticipating that there are architectural improvements that are coming in Airflow 3. And we are also anticipating there will be some sort of task isolation that will come across in Airflow 3. And it's going to help us, is what our belief is. That's what we are thinking, that will help us when we implement Airflow 3. And so when we have a large bag of inventory, we have like a 60, like we have so much amount of data that's flowing through. We have so much of the DAGs that are going through. We are looking at what are some of the things that can be that are causing errors. We are analyzing those kind of workflows and seeing which can be fixed by moving through Airflow 3. So one of the things is basically, I'm thinking Airflow 3 has event-based, asset-based data dependency. So if there's a change in some of the underlying structure, then the DAGs are going to adapt to that kind of changes, like event-based kind of execution of tasks. So especially for making our data aware of changes and then react actively to those changes and then process it as and when it comes through. So not as a fixed, if I'm making sense, not as a fixed cron-based job, not as a fixed set of DAG that runs every hour. Is something like that adapts to an event and then it runs. So suppose there is a change in one of the product catalog, it actually just triggers that product and makes a change. And then we don't have to run like 6 million and just run one or two of those and then transfer the changes downstream. That's what we are looking at for Airflow 3. And we are going through a phased approach. We are looking at some of the DAGs that are very less critical. We are going to move slowly through identifying those and then moving, changing those things. And Otto is the new AI-based tool that we're trying, which can actually convert some of these DAGs into Airflow 3, and then we run parallelly, and then we see how these actually are accommodating to our changes, and probably make things a little different than Airflow 2. And definitely, there will be more community involved in Airflow 3, I believe, to answer our queries. As a more progress towards a newer version. And I think there's one more thing I might like to mention. Airflow 3 has version-based changes. If I need to check that, if there is a change in some of the DAGs, it actually keeps a version of it rather than just overriding it. So maybe that is something we really want to keep a track of what changed.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I think DAG version, you mentioned event-driven scheduling. Those are certainly two of the most requested features or requested prior to Airflow 3, and I can see where those would be very helpful for your team. I love that you also mentioned Otto, which is our astronomer's data engineering agent that has some capabilities built in to help teams upgrade specifically from Airflow 2 to Airflow 3. So I'm glad to hear that that's part of your process and that it's helping out.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, the team behind Astro, a managed Airflow platform built for data engineering teams. From batch pipelines to training models and wiring up agents, Astro handles the infrastructure, upgrades, and scaling so you can focus on building. Check it out at astronomer.io.
Yeah, that's a really cool way of doing it. And it really helps. I would say going forward, these tools are going to make life easier for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that topic of AI, since this is a very hot topic right now within the Airflow community, I understand that you're also moving towards leveraging more agentic AI and MCPs. What does that process look like, and where does Airflow fit into that picture?
Yeah, so before I answer that question, we are very excited about it. It's one of the things that we see that Airflow has taken that step towards creating an MCP for it and then making it more AI aware, context-based. So that way we don't have to think about some other tool which does that. So it's a very right step. It's done at the right time. And I think it will come as a winner because a lot of data they handle and they understand these patterns, and it's definitely going to help them to be a leader in this space. And so one of the things that we're looking forward to is LLM based outputs for our underlying data as well. So we want to send data to an LLM, and then the LLM answers the queries to us. So, and using Airflow on top of it, looking at how this interaction between the DAGs work, it's going to help us to make sure that the LLM gets all the updated data, and then it provides the same kind of output. So one of the thing is classification is what we are trying to look at, product classification based on our schools. So, and we want to enrich our pipelines as well based on how the products attributes are changing. So that kind of things we want to run using these AI-based tools, and Airflow is going to handle most of these things for us. So because it has its own MCP, so we're going to give access to use all of those tools, and then make use of this context-based reasoning, which Airflow can do it for us. So we want to be a part of it, and inside Airflow itself, if possible, with including all the other features inside it. And the agents are only good as how much data they get. So we are going to provide as much as data that we have, and we have an ample amount of data, at least in the retail space. We know each and every attribute of our particular product, and then we're going to make sure that it gets all of the data. And if you look at Snowflake, is going to provide other analysis as well, like customer churn or customer spending and everything. So we need to make sure that Snowflake also gets all of this data that comes from this AI-based LLM-based reasoning that goes to Snowflake. So Airflow is going to we're going to make use of these MCPs provided by Airflow, especially S3 reading, security-based guardrails on top of it. So these things are very important before we even run the LLM based on this data.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if I understood you correctly, you're using Airflow both to orchestrate the agentic workflows themselves and also to, of course, prepare and, feed the data that's powering them. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We have a list of various list of vendors, and we send them data like every hour or every day or maybe quarterly, and we don't know which vendors gets all this data, and then we need to understand the patterns, like what the vendor is doing on the data. So maybe we can do it, and then we can save some costs there as well.
Okay, yeah, cool. And I'm curious, have you tried the new Common AI provider yet? Is that part of your exploration within this Airflow for AI workflows?
We are still discussing on it. We have a team reorg recently happened. So the new org is going to be totally heavily focused on the AI side of it. As you can understand, everybody wants to be part of it now because it's getting matured. And we also have a tie-up with Microsoft, which is going to give us some sort of this compute power which is coming with it, the Copilot version of it. And we also going to use Amazon S3 to use Bedrock on top of it to see if that can be used as well. So we are working on different options right now, and then we will be maybe mature. I'm just trying to get mature. They are a little early in this phase where AI is going to help them. I mean, the businesses, even the entire industry is looking at what new roles or what AI is going to impact them to such an extent. So maybe by the end of the year, maybe early next year, we know how much benefit it's going to bring us. So
Yeah.
that's what we are thinking.
Yeah, makes sense. Certainly lots to explore there, both within Airflow and outside of it. You mentioned kind of managing the security and guardrails around these AI workflows, and I know that's obviously a particularly important topic when it comes to AI, but also just more broadly with teams, of your size that are using Airflow to manage so much data, a lot of it potentially quite sensitive. How does your team handle all of that?
That's a good question, Kenton. So most of the data from the customer is their addresses and their names and their spending and their maybe credit card details. So those are all very P2 kind of data, personally identifiable, and it has to be absolutely secure. We have rules and regulations in place that this data, even I can't see it. It's all heavily masked kind of data, and we have third-party companies which processes data for us. For example, Capital One is one of them, which gets all this data and they process all these transactions. So, at least in the retail space, This data flows through from different systems, and then we also don't know. These files are sometimes flat files. We don't even know which column belongs to which field, and it's all heavily encrypted, and we don't know what's happening. So it's a very important feature, important concern for us that whatever credentials we pass through DAG or to environment variables, it has to be heavily masked, and it has to be heavily secure for us to stay in the business, if we can say. And then we have basically we have secrets backend that we keep, which is a file which is heavily it's password protected. So everything has to come from a secrets file. We don't actually hard code anything in our file in our code as such. So Airflow Secret Management integrates with the cloud's secret manager. So that's what we're using right now. And then we also have Snowflake-based analysis that is done. Snowflake also is pushing us towards using a key-value pair kind of a thing, where they encrypt this value in a config file somewhere, and we just reference the file, and then we keep on rotating it. And there's a separate team that checks all of these rotations. So they keep on rotating these values, maybe 1 week or maybe. Depends on how the secrets are, the retention period is now for this. And then on the Airflow side, we looked at the agents which are currently being built, the MCP side. And I'm happy to know that they basically don't send anything in the data in the DAG as such. It's part of the configuration file where we can store that, and then it uses it based on that configuration file. So that's a good feature that that we're happy about, that Airflow is providing for us to mask that value in the configuration file somewhere, not in the any of the jobs that run. So that is something that's important thing for us to use Airflow.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll love hearing about how Airflow is very effective there.
Yes.
Hilesh, this has been so interesting. We could keep talking about this, I think, for a long time, but just in the interest of time, I always like to ask my guests a standard final question, and that is, what would you most like to see from the Airflow project in the near future?
So most of the things I'm thinking, Kenton, we need to see data lineage, like how the data is flowing. It's top of our list. So we have so many DAGs running at the same time. We don't know what data is flowing through where. So my kind of like a graph kind of a thing. Hey, you know, this DAG is running, and then this is dependent on this one, and this is currently at 30%, this is currently 40%. So kind of a data lineage towards like understanding how the data is currently in which stage. Like staging or processing or final layer, so those kind of things. Maybe like a very interactive kind of a graph. What Airflow has done is basically used agent-based workflow, agentic-based workflow, asset management kind of workflow. So that's a very important step, which I think is already there in place. We're just looking at like event-driven kind of thing. And absolutely valuable is debugging. And for debugging kind of a thing, where we can actually look into Airflow and say, hey, this particular DAG is at this stage, and it's waiting for this one, and it's maybe not getting a proper value at here. So like a UI-based debugging kind of interface, which many like the compilers that they have. So maybe something shows me that while running that this is waiting for this thing. And then have a little user-friendly way of showing some debug errors.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know at Astronomer, we are working on, you mentioned auto, a little bit of an investigation capability within our products that is AI driven to help with that debugging before you ever have to go into like the task logs and kind of look at it yourself. But I can see where what you're saying would also be very helpful in the open source project, just more visibility into what's happening in the DAGs.
I also feel that many of the users don't go because the debugging is something, because there are support teams which join in. As a developer did something, the support team has to go and then on the weekend go and check what the issue is. And then maybe they take some time, and we don't want to wait on the call for like for 30, 50 minutes just to understand what the issue is what I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. Okay, Shailesh, well, it's been so great speaking with you. This has been a really interesting conversation. I think it's always so great for everybody in the community to get to hear or kind of peek, behind the curtain of like these huge companies using Airflow and how it all works. So appreciate you sharing everything. Just to close us out, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
This is it's very good that people want to get in touch with me. So if they want to, then I'm always on LinkedIn.
Okay.
They can always reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'll also be on the Apache Airflow Slack community. I'll be part of it, so people can come and just say hi there as well.
Great.
So that's how it is. Yeah.
Great. Well, we will put links to both of those things in the show notes. Okay. Well, Shailesh, thanks again. It's been really great speaking with you.
Yes, thank you so much. It was great talking to you too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Data Flowcast. Check the show notes for links to everything mentioned today. If you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And leave us a 5-star review.